Welcome to the Bicycling Podcast. Our first series, How to Climb Like a Boss, is designed to help you climb like a mountain goat, or at least to get you to the top of a hill before your mates, unless, of course, they're listening to this podcast too. In this four-part series, we look at mental approach, power-to-weight ratio, techniques and tips, and the role of weight in climbing. And yes, we ask if banting is all that. Joining me, Jonathan Anser, and bicycling editor Mike Finch, is a man who can help you climb like a boss. Cycling guru Dr. Jeroen Swart is a sports physician, exercise physiologist at the Sports Science Institute, and bicycling scientific editor. Oh, and his list of Strava King of the Mountains shows that he doesn't climb like a boss, he climbs like a god. Welcome to part two of How to Climb Like a Boss. In the previous episode, we looked at getting into the right mental state in order to tackle the climb. But what does having a good attitude really matter when you're a big guy having to lug your 110-kilogram body over a pass? Like most flace-loving South Africans, you're built for comfort, which is to say you're built to descend. Hills are a thin person's game. All the top climbers are skeletal. Chris Froome looks like he hasn't eaten in 6 months. When the skinny guys head up the hill, you wave them goodbye as you grind your way to the top. Don't worry, you'll catch them on the descent. And if not, you'll get them at the bar. The good news is that big guys can climb too. You see, climbing is all about that magical power-to-weight ratio. Jeroen, help us understand the science behind this.
In terms of pure climbers, those small body masses, the size of their hearts and lungs are relative to larger individuals, very similar. And so for every muscle fiber that's contracting up a climb, and also the work that they have to do, the cardiovascular respiratory demand is actually much lower in relative terms.
Yeah.
And so that's why smaller people have higher VO2 maxes. So VO2 max is the amount of oxygen you consume at maximal exercise when you're about to fall off a bike.
Yeah.
And you can look at it in two ways, either absolute, in other words, how many liters of oxygen do you use per minute, or relative, how many liters per kilogram. And if you're small and light, the relative value is going to be much higher. And that means that they can essentially, relative to their weight, produce more power, because the power is dictated by, you know, how much reserve they have. And so it just happens to be that if you're smaller, you have an advantage in that respect.
But surely if you're, I mean, going on that basis, surely if the bigger you get, if you can generate more power, that stays the same. Where is that turning point where suddenly you're too big to generate the power to compensate for that weight?
Yeah.
Is there a point?
So the easiest analogy to look at is if you take building blocks and you take two square blocks and you put them together, their volume has doubled, but each one of them has lost one surface.
Mm-hmm.
So in relative terms, the surface area to volume is lower. So the bigger you get, the smaller your surface area to your volume ratio, and that means you cool less efficiently, but also and the same thing applies to basically your cardiovascular respiratory capacity relative to the muscles. And so you get less blood flow to all of those working muscles. But the cutoff point depends also on the gradient. So for the average climber in South Africa, you can climb well up into mid 70 kilos, even high 70 kilos if you're talking about gradients that are less than 10%.
Mm.
And because our climbs are shorter, they're also faster.
Mm.
So the faster the climb, the more power becomes a determinant and less power to weight. When you get to Europe, and this is why in South Africa, a lot of our climbers are not really that skinny and small. But in Europe, you're talking about a climb that takes sometimes upwards of an hour to climb up.
Mm.
And there, the cutoff really gets to sort of mid-60s to high-60s. So even someone, well, we all know Lance Armstrong did things in a different way, but if we look at some
ignoring
of the general classification riders, some of them are in the low 70s, and those are guys who can still climb well. They can climb well enough to hang with the pure climbers long enough to not lose a lot of time on the climbs.
Mm.
And then when it comes to the time trials, because they're a little bit bigger, they can smash the time trials, and that's the opposite. There, it's not about power to weight, it's about power to surface area.
Mm.
And the same analogy applies. If you make yourself four times bigger, you lose about 25% relative surface area. So there's less drag when they're going into the wind. They're producing more power, but they're not actually producing much more drag. So a big guy,
you're saying, produces relatively less drag
yeah.
to power, which kind of is slightly contradicts what you would believe there. I mean, obviously I've got more drag than a guy like Jonathan's a lot smaller.
Not really. So that's the thing. You think you would. But remember, the only part that's creating drag is the area that is facing forward, so your frontal surface area. And so if you increase, so if you double your size, your surface area increases at the square root of that. Okay. So your surface area hasn't increased much. And then it's also, because it's only the front of you, it's half the square root of your change in volume. Mm. So in actual fact, your drag only goes up a little when you double your size. And if you double your size, you pretty much double your power output. Mm. And so that's why the big guys, the Magnus Backsteds and you know, all of those big chaps do well in Paris-Roubaix in the flat races and do well in the time trials, but they don't climb well. So you've got to use your relative strengths to your advantage.
I mean, Nolan Hoffman's a good one. Local South African guy won the Cape Town Cycle Tour last year and just got over the climbs. And it's one of the most amazing stories. He's not a climber at all. But relatively speaking, he'd get killed in Europe, but managed to survive. I mean, how did he survive those climbs?
Well, that's because our climbs are so short. So Chapman's Peak, for instance, if you look at the Argus Cycle Tour and you look at the time it takes for the guys to climb main chappies, not little chappies, but the main portion of the climb, it's only 5 minutes. So it's about a tenth of the duration of a European climb, and if you've just got power and you can, you know, hang in there for those 4 or 5 minutes, even a bigger guy can make it over the climbs. And because they're hitting that climb at such speed, I mean, they're hitting the base of Sacre Borsi. I recall, you know, a few years ago back in the August, you know, we were going up there, you know, 34-35 kilometers an hour.
Because you hit it at such a pace at the bottom.
Yeah, at the bottom, you're going 45 kilometers an hour. By the time you get to that first slight left-hand corner, you're still going over 40. Halfway up the climb, you're probably dropping to 35. And maybe over the crest, you're doing 32-30 kilometers an hour. Now, that's a relatively high speed where drag is still a big factor. So the big guys can get over a short climb like Sacre Borsi.
So is the message then for us average South Africans, and the average South African male is a large chap, is that given the climbs we have, relative climbs we have in South Africa, don't get hung up on your weight.
Absolutely. In South Africa, just get strong, get fit, get powerful, but don't get too over-absorbed in the weight loss area, because losing too much weight is also going to affect your power. And so that then affects your performance over the other terrain.
So you've got to lose weight, but not power.
Yeah. Ideally, you want... So if you're going to try to be a pure climber in the European sense, then there's sometimes an advantage to losing weight and losing, to some extent, some of your power. But in a South African context, not at all.
So add this to your mental checklist. Get strong, get fit, get powerful. Lose weight, not power. Big guys have their own cycling advantages, the long, flat stretches. The hills in South Africa are not as steep as the climbs in Europe, which means that heavier cyclists can keep up with the climbers. The good news is that regardless of your genetic makeup, you can improve your climbing. Be sure not to miss part 3 of How to Climb Like a Boss, where we talk about techniques, tips, and training to do just that.